under his wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Oft when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort, and there I am blessed. Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er, sheltered, protected. No evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. We'll bow together and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as one who came and gave his life that we might have forgiveness of our sin. And we thank you that he came forth in the resurrection, giving to us an assurance of eternal life in him. We rejoice this morning in that eternal peace that is ours in a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, and that these are wings under which we can hover, knowing your comfort and your provisions. We thank you as we have gathered this morning that it is in the assurance of sharing in a service for a brother who loved you and who walked with you. And we pray that each of us may sense your presence, your comfort. And we pray also that we might be open to the teaching of your word for the application of these very truths to our own lives. We just thank you, Father, for the fact that you not only love us with an eternal love, but that you have provided an eternal life for us. And we look forward to that day when there will be the reuniting in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Oh, what a day.
When he takes me by the hand.
Thank you for coming today to share with them and strengthen them with your presence. The family will be gathering at our church following the service this morning. We are grateful to have present Reverend Arthur Brust of the Willow Rancho Church in Sacramento, who is pastor to two of the sons and who also served our church in previous years and in a pastoral assistant relationship to the Fillers, share in this service this morning. Jacob Filler was born on July 23rd, 1890, in Jacobstal, Russia. He died on Tuesday evening, November the 28th, at 82 years, 4 months, and 5 days of age. Mr. Filler came to the United States when he was 16 and settled in Harvey, North Dakota. It was here that he met Louise Swigel, whom he married on November 24, 1912. They were privileged to happily celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary this year. The Fillers farmed in North Dakota until they moved to Lodi in 1941. He worked for the Roma Wine Company until retiring in 1961. Mr. Filler received Christ as his Savior when he was a young man of 19. He confessed this experience through believer's baptism on July 18, 1809 at Harvey, North Dakota, and became an active member of the Mennonite Brethren Church there. He became a member of First Baptist Church, Lodi, in 1947. He served his Lord and the church as treasurer for a number of years. And here in Lodi, he also served as a secretary treasurer of the adult Bible class. He was presently serving in this capacity. He is survived by his wife, Louise, children, Mrs. Elvina Salsley of San Bruno, Eugene of Pittsburgh, Wilbert of Sacramento, and Clifford of Sacramento, and Mrs. Evelyn Helmley of Lodi. 11 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. 2 brothers, Reinhold Filler of Anamoose, North Dakota, and Emmanuel Filler of Wolf Point, Montana. 4 sisters, Mrs. Margaret Ball of Lodi, Mrs. Catherine Shimke of Lodi, Mrs. Bertha Fall of Minnow, North Dakota, and Mrs. Lydia Reimke of Harvey, North Dakota.
May we share with you our deepest and sincerest sympathies. And on the other side of the coin, to congratulate you again for the opportunities that were yours as a family in just the recent months as you celebrated the 60th wedding anniversary. It's a rather ambivalent situation when we stand in these moments to share on the one hand the joy that's ours when one goes to be with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we're often reminded of the children of Israel as they looked forward of moving into that promised land, and the promise that is ours when we have not only known and have received eternal life, but then to realize it with immortality as we move from the present to that which God has provided in the future. May we share with you a number of scripture passages from both the Old and the New Testament and as Willow Rancho Baptist Church, we express to Mrs. Filler and to all of the children, grandchildren, our deepest love in Christ, and may He strengthen you and continue to do so in these moments. From the 91st chapter of the book of Psalms, we read, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of terror by night, nor the arrow that fleeth by day. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him, and I will honor him, and with long life shall I satisfy him, and show him my salvation." And I believe, as we knew Mr. Filler, that very much so speaks of a relationship that was his. And 82 years in today's world perhaps may not be a very long life, and yet every day that you and I live, we live under His guidance, His power, and not knowing what the next day may bring. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, we read, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And yet Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. But Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Because thou believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And may God add His blessing to this, the reading of His Word. And may these passages and many others that are familiar to you as a family and friends that have come be of comfort in these moments. Let us pray. God and Father, we thank you once again that we come before you this morning, realizing that you fully are aware of the moment before us. It is difficult, our God, to part with those, our loved ones. We know that every day we live on borrowed time. And yet, our Father, we find it difficult to say goodbye, and even difficult to comprehend that we shall meet again. But we have your promises in these moments, that where you were going, we shall also go. And it is with joy that we look forward to immortality and to those moments when we shall leave the present body with its aches and pains, with its limitations, and be present with you, and then someday to be rejoined with that body that's immortal, that fadeth not away, that's incorruptible. God, we thank you that that is of the blessed hope in Jesus Christ. We look forward, our Father, to the return of your Son. Perhaps, our Father, this may be very soon for all of us present here, but we're reminded that you called one forth. We thank you, God, that the suffering, even in those moments, was limited. You were so gracious and so kind. We would thank you now for that comfort and hope and security that the families in bereavement have found. We would pray, continue to strengthen them, continue to assure them, and may the testimony that was given by our brother be emulated by all of the children and the grandchildren and those who witness and worship with and fellowship with them, not just of the saving grace of Christ, but his keeping power, the daily sustenance to live the abundant life in Jesus Christ. We pray that this memorial service may indeed be a witness to all, to realize, our God, that the very essence of Mr. Jacob Filler is not found in the body that has been left, but in his relationship with Christ, where that soul is presently joining and has joined a host who have gone before us, and perhaps are a cloud of witnesses upon us in this very hour. We thank you for the privilege of knowing him, for the joy of having worshiped with him, for the joy of having fellowship, and only recently to have been honored to be at a family relationship that expressed 60 years of living together in Jesus Christ. We pray, continue to witness to and through our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
First couple to come to church on Sunday morning has usually been Mr. and Mrs. Filler. And this has nearly always been true too on Wednesday evening for the prayer service. I suspect it was true on Sunday evening and on other occasions, even though usually at that hour I have been busy in other things and so therefore have not had opportunity to observe that. Mr. Filler kept ahead of things in his work, too. One only has to stop at the home and look at the yard to see this. Even this past week on Monday, he had dug a deep hole where leaves and prunings were being buried. On Tuesday, he was in the midst of winter prunings, and this, of course, early and on time, too, and the very fact that he was taking care of the leaves and the prunings in the fashion that he was doing it shows to us something of the thoroughness of his life and the habits that he had established. He was known for being willing to do the job, whatever it may be, without necessarily getting the credit, but seeing that the job was done. And what a testimony. One of the first individuals that I spoke to after learning of the death of Mr. Filler, gave this testimony of him in just a very brief word when he said that here truly was a meek man. And those of us who understand the scriptural use of this term, as our brother did who used it, know the depth of that compliment that he shared in behalf of Mr. Filler's life and testimony in that moment. Now, his earliness and thoroughness caused me to think immediately of the Word of God as we have it in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 17 in particular. In this passage, we are assured that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as it were told in the great resurrection chapter, and will join those that have been dead in Christ to go to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord's calling him home this week assures our brother once again that he will be first in that moment when Jesus Christ comes for his own. The passage is 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, this passage does not charge us to not sorrow, but to sorrow not as those who have no hope. It is understandable that when we have a right relationship with the Lord and have built right relationships with others, that there will be heart longings at a time of parting that will probably be even deeper than in the midst of families where they have had strained relationships and where they really haven't learned to love and they haven't given themselves unto one another. But this passage points out to us that even in the midst of a very closeness, a relationship that is dear here upon earth, that we who are believers do not need to sorrow as those who have no hope, because we can rejoice in the relationships that we've had, knowing that these things in Christ count for eternity. And also we have the assurance of being together with Him forever and without end after this brief intermission. And so we sorrow not as those who have no hope. In Jesus Christ, we have an anchored hope. And of course, this centers in the resurrection of Christ and in the fact that in Him we have eternal life, even in these very moments, whether in the body or out of the body, and also in the future resurrection of these very bodies. For us, it is not goodbye, but it is just good night. Now, in this passage before us, we have the certainty which the resurrection assures. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is both the evidence that God can raise the dead and a pledge that He will. Had Jesus risen merely as an individual, some of us might say, well, that was fine that Jesus Christ came forth from the grave, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I will come forth from the grave. The scripture, however, points out that Jesus Christ came forth from the grave as the federal head of mankind. Or to say it another way, in scriptural language, He came forth as the first fruits of the resurrection. And the first fruits sanctified and assured the harvest. He was the first fruits, but we shall be like Him. It is this which soothes our sorrows. It also gives joy now, because in addition to the temporal happiness of living in a dependent trust, the anticipation of eternity is added. What a joy this gives. The Apostle Paul said this to Timothy in the first chapter of Timothy, verses 6. In 1 Timothy, rather, the 4th chapter, in verses 6, 7, and 8. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine unto which thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You notice how he tied in the two areas, that godliness gives blessing now and then the promise of those things which are before us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ assures our continuing life in Him and the resurrection even of this body. Now, secondly, in our passage, we have the order which the resurrection assures. The early Thessalonian believers were sorrowful in parting with their loved ones, not only because of the heart-throb relationships, but because they were fearful that since they had now departed from this life, that they would miss the blessings that God had for them, particularly in the kingdom rule of Jesus Christ. And so these words were written to show them that their loved ones would not miss, but that when Jesus Christ comes, they would be first to be brought forth, and then those that were alive would be changed. And once again, remember that this is speaking about the body, not about the spirit or the soul or the very life of man. For the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But this is speaking about that fullness of our redemption, the resurrection even of these bodies. Now, after the resurrection of believers who have gone on before, then we who are alive and remain upon the earth will be changed. Paul says that he wrote this by the word of the Lord, or upon his authority. And then the next step is that together we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And this is a joyful assurance of believing in the risen, living Christ. Thomas Jefferson was a moralist. And it is said that he had gone through the scriptures and had deleted from his Bible, just crossed out, all of the supernatural passages in the Bible. Congress reprinted Thomas Jefferson's Bible in a special edition. In the Gospels, for example, they end with these words: There they laid Jesus, and rolled a great stone to the mouth of the sepulchre, and departed. For Thomas Jefferson, that was the end. He just accepted the moral teachings, nothing of the supernatural. But how wonderful it is that we know Jesus Christ came forth in the resurrection, and that he lives, and that in him we live too, and one day there will even be the resurrection of our bodies. Think about that from the standpoint of these lines. Mary, just one word, 'twas all he need employ to turn a woman's sorrowing heart into a well of joy. She thought he was the gardener. Master, she answered now, his voice, her name, it was enough. She asked not, is it thou? In my great hour of trial, the Savior oft appears. He makes no long impressive speech to scatter all my fears. He gently speaks my name. Enough. What need I more than to be known and loved of him whom heaven and earth adore? Men know not Jesus lives. In unbelief they dwell. And as to Mary then, so now, he bids us go and tell. Thirdly, this passage declares the blessings which the resurrection assures. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, this is the climax of this portion of Scripture. And really, it's the climax for us in the application of this portion of Scripture to our lives. So shall we ever be with the Lord. If our immortality were but for a period, no matter how long that period may be, but we would have to anticipate that someday that would end, much of the blessing would be taken away. But how wonderful that it will never be taken away. The scripture says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a prize is given to us in this. It'll never end. What joy and blessing we have. It will be in the purity of a relationship that is as pure as God himself and as endless as God is in his infiniteness in every way. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Today, I would long that each of us genuinely would be able and would thank God for all that he is in himself. And thank him for all that he is to us as believers in Jesus Christ. And that you, as family members, along with that, would thank him in particular for the Christian husband and father that you have had in these years, and the years that God has allowed him to you. One who not only has known Christ, but has lived for Christ. And as one of his sons said in just a passing comment to me, I have never heard my dad in my entire lifetime once use the Lord's name in vain. One who lived for him and loved him. And then that we might thank God for the assurances that are ours in Christ, as related even in this passage of Scripture that we shared this morning. Let's bow together and pray. Eternal God, we thank you for your word, that it is yea and amen. We thank you for the blessings of life that we know and experience now by trusting in your word and applying its truths to our hearts. We thank you for family relationships which are centered in Jesus Christ, and also for the peace that passeth all understanding in being able to trust you, in looking forward to the things that you have in these days hence, knowing that they too are yea and amen, and shown to us in the certainty of Christ's resurrection from the grave. We thank you that we can commit the body of this our loved one today in the assurance of the bodily resurrection. And we do this praying that we might go looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and go with a deeper love for him, go sharing the message of Christ and living it in greater measures each day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.